Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of Hawk Talk. I am your host, JC Hawkins. I am a Division II college basketball player at Union University. So Hawk Talk will primarily be a podcast discussing basketball with my friends, some of my teammates back at school. And today we'll get into a little bit about the tournament, some NBA talk, and just discuss what's going on in the basketball world. So without further ado, let's get right into it. As you all know, this is a big time of the year for basketball fans with March Madness. The NBA playoffs are right around the corner, but the biggest thing right now going on is March Madness and the tournament and, you know, all the upsets, all the sleepers, all the close games, all that type of stuff. So we'll get into some of the Sweet 16 games. The first game we have is Duke versus Virginia Tech. Two ACC teams going at it. I know they played in the regular season. Virginia Tech beat them, but that was whenever Duke was without Zion Williamson. And ever since he's been back, they've just looked like a different team. He's looked like a different player from before whenever he got hurt. So in that game, I got Duke by 10 to 15 probably. Next game in that region is Michigan State versus LSU. And if you like guard play, you'll want to watch this game. Two of the best guards in the country with Cassius Winston from Michigan State and Tremont Waters from LSU. LSU's without their head coach right now, so that's a very big thing that they're missing right now. But other than that, they're a very talented team. You know, Tremont Waters, Naz Reid he's ridiculous. I mean, he can do just about anything out on the basketball court. Devontae Smart, just to name a couple of them. But, I mean, it's hard to bet against Tom Izzo in March whenever he's got as good as a guard as Cassius Winston is. So I've got Michigan State winning that game as well, setting up a Duke-Michigan State Elite Eight game, which would be a fantastic game. But we'll move on to the West region. And in the West, we have Gonzaga versus Florida State. Florida State is long, they are athletic, yet another ACC team in the Sweet 16. But I watched the Gonzaga game the other day, and they're just better than Florida State probably at every position. Rui Hachimura is a problem, Killian Tilly is a problem, plus Mark Few is a fantastic coach. Although usually I'm not a big Gonzaga guy, just because they don't play anybody during the regular season, in their conference. But I mean, this year they just look different than past years. So I have Gonzaga winning that game. Next game we have after that, staying in the West region, is Texas Tech versus Michigan. This game might be in the 50s. Texas Tech is a phenomenal defensive team, and so is Michigan. I watched Texas Tech for the first time the other day when they played Buffalo, and Buffalo just couldn't score, couldn't find a lane, was missing everything because of the pressure that Texas Tech applies on the defensive side of the ball. And Michigan has struggled to score at times this year. But again, Michigan's a very good basketball team. They've got a good head coach, John Beilein. You know, Jordan Poole, Xavier Simpson, the foreign guy, I can't pronounce his name, I'm not going to try to. They're all very good basketball players, and it'll be a very good basketball game tonight. It will be a defense battle, like I said before. I think I've got Texas Tech pulling that one out in a close game, but we'll have to wait and see. Moving on to the South region, we've got Virginia versus Oregon. I mean, Oregon is on a tear right now. I don't know what Dana Altman said to them before the Pac-12 tournament, but whatever he did, they need to bottle it up, and he needs to say it for the rest of his coaching career, because he has the Ducks playing unbelievably well right now. In my opinion, Dana Altman is one of the most underrated coaches in the country. If you look at him, at what he's done, he's a very good coach. I mean, if they didn't lose Bol Bol to injury at the beginning of the year, you can't tell me that they wouldn't. I believe they probably would have won the Pac-12 regular season championship. And then, I mean, obviously they won the Pac-12 conference tournament championship just to get into the tournament. And now they're in the Sweet 16 after throttling both Wisconsin and UC Irvine. But, I mean, they're running into a tough Virginia team who Virginia just guards, and they're tough, they're older, they've been through the wars and the ACC and stuff like that. I know they got upset by UMBC last year, and everybody makes fun of them for that, but I don't know, just this year, they've looked different in the tournament so far, led by Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome, two sharpshooters who, if you leave them open, it's probably a bucket. So I've got Virginia beating Oregon in that one, and I don't even know if it'll be very close, to be honest with you. Also, staying in the South region, we have Purdue versus Tennessee. This one I have got Tennessee advancing just because you never know which Purdue team you're going to get. More importantly, you don't know which Carson Edwards you're going to get. You can get the Carson Edwards that they had against Villanova, who he had 42, I believe. And if you get that Carson Edwards, that's going to be a tough game for Tennessee. But I don't think Purdue has anybody to guard Grant Williams down low, Admiral Schofield on the wing, excuse me. And then like the same thing with Virginia is true with Tennessee. They're just a veteran team who's been through the wars and the SEC, and their defense, I think, will bother Carson Edwards and ultimately be the reason why they advance to face Virginia in the Elite Eight, which would be a fantastic matchup. Then last but not least, we've got the Midwest region. We've got Carolina versus Auburn. And if you like defense, you probably shouldn't watch this game because there will be no defense played. Both teams might get into the 110s. I wouldn't be shocked to see that because Carolina wants to run. Auburn wants to run. Carolina's a fantastic offensive team. Auburn is shooting the lights out of the ball right now. It's ridiculous watching Auburn play. I watched them against Kansas, and they had 22 fast break points in the first 8 minutes of the game. Some teams don't even get 22 fast break points within the entire game. So I think that'll be a fantastic matchup. I'm excited to watch that one. Carolina's got Luke May, who's been there for a bajillion years, it seems like. Nas Little played fantastic the other day against Washington. And then on Auburn's side, you have a lot of guards that can shoot it from anywhere. They can drive it, kick it, score it at the rim. Bruce Pearl's letting them do whatever they want. They have the ultimate freedom, which as a player it's like a boost of confidence that your coach wants you to shoot any shot in the gym because he believes in you that much that it's going in. So Bruce Pearl's got his guys playing very well right now, but ultimately I think Kobe White, Cam Johnson, and Luke May are a bit too much for Auburn, especially Luke May inside. I don't know if Auburn's got anybody that can guard Luke May. So I've got Carolina winning that game and advancing to the Elite Eight. And then the last Sweet 16 game, we have Houston against my Kentucky Wildcats. As you all know, PJ Washington has been out to begin the tournament with a sprained foot. And they took the cast off the other day. Apparently, he's in a walking boot and is questionable to play. But regardless of that, I believe Kentucky is just too much. I mean, Reed Travis is a grown man. I don't know if Houston has anybody that can guard him just because of how big and physical and how strong he is. And then combine that with Keldon Johnson, Tyler Hero. It's going to be a very good game because Houston is very long and very athletic. Their guard, Corey Davis, he's a very good guard, a very good college guard. So Ashton Higgins will have his hands full with him. But ultimately, I believe the Cats will be too much for Houston, and they will beat them, which would set up a North Carolina versus Kentucky rematch from earlier in the year, in which Kentucky won in the Elite Eight. Okay, so moving on to the Elite Eight, we have in the East region, Duke versus Michigan State are my picks to get there. Two very good basketball coaches in Coach K and Tom Izzo, two very good basketball teams in the Blue Devils and the Spartans. To me, I think Duke has too much for the Spartans to handle. You know, RJ Barrett and Zion Williamson are arguably the best duo in the country, both of them averaging 22 points a game, which is unheard of, especially as freshmen. You know, every team has that close game in which it looks like they're going to lose. They either lose it or they somehow figure out a way to win. And in Duke's case, that was in the round of 32 game against UCF whenever they were down. Zion drove, shoved the dude to the ground, no call because it's Duke, but that's a different story. You know, shot the layup over Taco Fall, they get the foul, the guy goes down, misses, the ball rolls around the rims 26 times before it rolls off the rim. But you know, RJ Barrett and Zion are just they're just very good at the game of basketball. I mean, that's the only way to put it. You know, they got Cam Reddish, who if Cam Reddish makes shots, Michigan State will be in trouble. But I mean, Michigan State is, I mean, you look at them, they've got Cassius Winston, who's one of the best guards in the country. Nick Ward, who came back from injury recently. Then you got Matt McQuaid, who, if you leave him open, it's going in. I don't care. He is a phenomenal phenomenal shooter of the ball. They're an older team who's been through a tournament before, but I mean, combat that with, I don't know if coaching will be as big of an issue as it is in other games, just because both teams have legendary Hall of Fame coaches. So I have got the Blue Devils winning, beating Michigan State in a very close basketball game, and advancing to the Final Four. Then we'll move on to the West, which we've got Gonzaga versus Texas Tech. Gonzaga has a good coach as well, Mark Few, and then Texas Tech has a up-and-coming coach, Chris Beard, who could possibly win Coach of the Year. He's got his guys playing very well right now. They're a very good defensive team. But I just think Rui Hachimura, Brandon Clark, Josh Perkins, and getting Killian Tilly back recently, that was big for the Bulldogs of Gonzaga. I think it'll be a tough game for Texas Tech, who has Jarrett Culver, who is projected to go lottery. Very good player for the Red Raiders. But I just think Gonzaga has too much, they're too good, too deep for Texas Tech to beat them. I think it'll be a very good ball game, but I just don't see Texas Tech overcoming all the obstacles they've got to beating the Bulldogs. So we'll move on to the South bracket, South region. And I have Virginia versus Tennessee. And this game will be a heavyweight fight for sure. I mean, Virginia, one of the top teams in the country the whole year. Same thing with Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee's a older team. They've been through anything and everything you can think of. Again, both teams are phenomenal defensive teams. But at the same time, both teams are good offensive teams. So it'll be interesting to see whose willpower can overpower the other. I don't know if DeAndre Hunter will guard Grant Williams or not, but if he does, that would be a phenomenal matchup right there. Kyle Guy against probably Jordan Bone. That's a very good matchup as well. Jordan Bone is one of the best guards, not only in the SEC, but in the country out of Nashville. But then I think the key guy will probably be Braxton Key for the Cavaliers. You know, he just does a lot. Big guard, 6'8", 225. I mean, he'll match up against Admiral Schofield, who Adam was a very good college basketball player. I mean, 6'6", 241 guard, that's almost unheard of. Averaging almost 17 a game, can shoot it, can put it on the ground, can post you up, will go around you and dunk on you and not even feel bad about it. So I think it'll be a very good basketball game. Both teams are very much alike, but I think that Virginia, their style, or not their style, but I think they'll overpower the Vols and get the job done to move on to the Final Four. And last but not least, we've got the Midwest region. I've got Carolina versus Kentucky. The big question mark here is, will P.J. Washington play? And if he does, how does he look? Because if P.J. Washington not only plays, but looks fine and gets back to what he was doing during SEC play, it'll be a fantastic ballgame no matter what. But I don't know if Carolina has somebody to guard him. So I think P.J. Washington is the X factor there, obviously. I mean, he's Kentucky's best player. But whenever your best player gets hurt, you don't want to rush him back too quick and maybe mess up his future and whatnot. But, I mean, once again, the teams played earlier in the year. This was before Carolina really found their stride. I believe Ashton Hagans had 8 steals that game, which was crazy. It seemed like any time you looked up, he took the ball from Kobe White and ran down and shot a layup on the other end. But the Heels are playing very well right now. I mean, you look at Cam Johnson's averaging 17, Kobe White's averaging 16, Luke May's 15, Nas Little is 10. So it'll be a phenomenal basketball game nonetheless. Two of the greatest programs, if not the two greatest programs in college basketball, squaring off in the Elite Eight. In my opinion, the X factor for the Cats is E.J. Montgomery and Jamal Baker. Because we saw E.J. Montgomery has been playing very well as of late, ever since P.J.'s been out. And it honestly started while he was still healthy in the SEC tournament in the last couple games there. And then Jamal Baker played phenomenal against Wofford, on both ends, offensively and defensively. He was hitting shots, guarding anybody, everybody. So I think if those two play well for the Cats, they've got a very good chance to beat Carolina if P.J. Washington plays and does what he does. If P.J. Washington plays but isn't himself, I don't think Kentucky has a chance. And that hurts me to say just because I'm a Cats fan, but I mean, Carolina has a lot of firepower. And I don't know if Kentucky has somebody that can, I mean, not only make up for what PJ, his stats, I mean, he averages 15 and 8. I mean, that's tough just to make up in itself, 15 and 8 on the court. But just, it seems like whenever he's on the court, they just seem more comfortable in everything they do, offensively and defensively. I mean, I'd assume he's one of the leaders on the team just because he's came back for a second year, leading everybody on defense, telling them, you know, where to be and stuff like that. But it just seems like if he's not there, I don't know if they have what it takes to beat Carolina. And so my pick will be, I think P.J. From what I've heard, P.J. Washington is expected to play against Houston in the Sweet 16. And get take the boot off and play and all that good stuff. So I believe he'll play then. If they can get him between 20, or we'll say 18 to 23 minutes, and then he feels good, feels like himself, which I think will happen. I think the Cats will beat Carolina on Sunday and advance to the Final Four and set up a matchup between the Virginia Cavaliers and the Kentucky Wildcats on one side, and on the other side we have Duke versus Gonzaga. Okay, so moving on to the Final Four, we have a rematch of a game that was played in the Maui tournament in November, in a game between Gonzaga and Duke. Gonzaga won the first matchup by 2 in November. They were without Killian Tilly, who is one of their better players. He was out with an injury and just recently came back and has looked well, played well since he's been back. This was the game Rui Hachimura kind of put himself on the national stage. People knew who he was, that he was a good basketball player before this, but he played well against Duke this game. He had 20 points, 7 boards, and 5 assists as a big guy. That's a very good game for him. And then on the Duke side, they had RJ Barrett go 9 of 25 from the field, which that's just awful. And then Zion was only 8 of 17 from the field, which that's not who Zion has been recently. If he's shooting like almost 70%, I believe, since he's been back from injury. Just because, I mean, he's sprinkled in some threes here and there, but a guy that size, that big, that athletic, I mean, he just runs around everybody. Uses his athleticism and his speed to jump over you, go around you, dunk on you. Anything and everything you can think of, he's been doing it lately. So, based off of that, I have Duke advancing in a very good basketball game, beating Gonzaga to advance to the national championship. And then on the other side, we have the Virginia Cavaliers against the Kentucky Wildcats. Like I said before, Virginia is a very good defensive team. Kentucky is a very good defensive team. If you look at the stats, they've become a very good defensive team, forcing turnovers, just overall playing very good defense. Again, I think if Kentucky survives this weekend against Houston and then the winner of Carolina and Auburn and can get PJ Washington another week of rest and get him even healthier before they play Virginia, I think, first off, it'll be a phenomenal basketball game with two very good coaches. The Cavaliers have Tony Bennett, and Kentucky obviously has Coach Cal. Not a lot of shooting, but there will be some very good shooters on the court. Kyle Guy, Ty Jerome, Tyler Hero. Keldon Johnson is not a terrible shooter either. But this will be a very good game as well. We'll probably see a DeAndre Hunter PA Washington matchup, which that would be a very good matchup. Two sophomores that came back to school for another year so that way they can improve their draft stock, which I believe both of them have, and wouldn't be surprised to see both of their names get called in the draft this summer. But I believe Kentucky, if they're just, I don't know. I mean, Reed Travis is just, he's a grown man. Like, if you look at him, he's bigger, he's stronger, he's not faster than everybody, but he's ginormous. They call him Thanos, I believe, which, you know, it's a pretty good comparison based on how big he is. And I think if Kentucky gets to the Final Four, they won't be denied of a national championship. So I have them beating Gonzaga in a good basketball game, which sets up a rematch of how the season started between the Duke Blue Devils and the Kentucky Wildcats, in which Duke absolutely throttled Kentucky. Duke won that game 118-84. It was RJ and Zion and Trey and Cam's first game for the Blue Devils. I mean, RJ had 33. Zion had 28 and 23 minutes, which is very impressive for the big guy. Cam Reddish had 22. Then you look at Kentucky. Kentucky had 15 turnovers in the game. Tyler Hero was 1 of 6 from the three-point line. And coming in, that's what he was known as, and that was a bad way for him to start the season. But over the year, he's progressed and shown his full arsenal on both sides of the ball. Reed Travis, 22 points on 8 shots. That's very good for the big guy, the grad transfer from Stanford. But P.J. Washington was in foul trouble the whole game. He only played 17 minutes, which, I mean, it was just a bad way to start the season. But it was also, I believe it was a good thing because it woke him up. It made him realize, hey, we're not as good as we think we are, because they went to the Bahamas in the summer and just smacked professional teams, like grown men. They were beating them by 20, 30, just basically picking the score, to be honest. So I think it was good for them, and they've changed a lot since this game. Duke's changed a lot since this game. I mean, Jack White played 30 minutes this game. He barely plays anymore for them. Jordan Goldwire only plays 6 minutes this game. He plays a very good role in what they do on defense now. Not much of an offensive guy, but a very good defender for the Blue Devils. So I think in this game, I think P.J. Washington comes out and is just a man and says, him and Reed Travis just say, throw us the ball, get us the ball. None of them can guard us, and we'll bring it home for BBN. And in that case, I think Kentucky gets revenge on the Blue Devils and beats Duke by less than 5 points. I think it'll be a phenomenal basketball game, one of the best games, if not the best game of the year in college basketball. And I think Kentucky gets number 9. All of Big Blue Nation is happy. And then you see some of them leave for the draft. All right, so now we're going to change course a little bit and talk a little bit about the NBA, MVP, Rookie of the Year, stuff like that. So we'll start with the MVP. It's really a 2-man race between James Harden and Giannis. I mean, James Harden is averaging 36 points, 7 boards, and 8 assists. I don't know if that's ever been done before. He's taken this Rockets team from, they were like 13th in the West, and now they're 4th or 3rd, I believe. Then you look at Giannis. Giannis is leading the Bucks, who currently have the best record in the NBA. And he's averaging 27 points, almost 13 rebounds, and 6 assists, which that's a very good stat line for Giannis. And honestly, if it was any other year, he would probably, hands down, easily win the MVP. But just because of the insane stretch that James Harden was on this year, he had 30-something games straight where he scored 30 or more, which is just unheard of. Never been done before. And, I mean, the guy is just balling right now. I mean, he's doing everything for the Rockets, it seems like. And he's got them 4th in the West right now. And I'd imagine they're only going to move up now that Portland is without Yusuf Nurkic, as he fractured his leg the other night and just a horrible injury. Couldn't stand to watch it. So I imagine they'll jump up to get about the 3rd seed for them. And then, I mean, Giannis is, he's leading, he's doing what he's got to do to keep the Bucks atop the East. I mean, 56-19 right now for the Bucks. You never would have thought that at the beginning of the year. He's just progressed throughout his career very well. But I believe James Harden should win it. I don't know if he will win it, but he's definitely been the best player this year. I mean, 36-7-8, that's kind of ridiculous. That's like something you put up on 2K, not in real life. So I believe James Harden wins MVP this year. And then for Rookie of the Year, it's also kind of a 2-man race between Luka Doncic and Trae Young. Trae Young has been playing very well as of late. I mean, he can shoot it from anywhere. He's crafty, good passer, averaging 19 points and 8 assists, which is very good for the point guard out of Oklahoma. Then you look at Luka Doncic, who is this kid is special. I mean, he was playing professional basketball when he was 16 years old, so that kind of speaks for itself. Just how skilled he is, how mature he is for somebody his age. I mean, he's averaging 21 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists as a rookie. That's very impressive. Both of them are on very bad teams. Very, very bad teams. I mean, the Hawks are 27-48, which isn't, that's awful. And then you look at the Mavericks, who are 29-45, which, I mean, again, that's awful. But you look at Luka Doncic, he's got a running mate. Him and Kristaps Porzingis will be a very good duo in the near future whenever the unicorn gets back healthy. Then you look at Trae Young. Trae Young's got John Collins, who's a high flyer, a very unknown but very good basketball player. Just to like the common fan, he's a very bouncy guy, very athletic big guy, and they'll also be a good duo. But I just think it's hard not to give the Rookie of the Year to Luka Doncic. Just because, 21-8-6 as a rookie, that's kind of ridiculous. So those are my MVP and Rookie of the Year picks. My finals prediction, to make it out of the West, I got to go with the Warriors. I mean, I'm not going to bet against KD, Klay, Steph. They added Boogie Cousins this offseason, Draymond, Steve Kerr, everything they've got going there. KD has missed 2 shots in his last 2 games, which is, I don't know if that's ever been heard of, if that's ever been done before, anything like that. So I've got the Warriors coming out of the West, as I'm sure a lot of people do. Out of the East is wide open. The Bucks are currently in first. The Celtics are in 5th, but I think they might be the most talented team in the East. It's either them or the Sixers. You look at the Sixers. They have Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, J.J. Redick. They might have the second best starting 5 in the league behind the Warriors. But I don't know. Ben Simmons' lack of shooting might catch up to him. As much as I hate to say that, it's true. I mean, the dude just can't shoot a basketball for some reason. So I think it'll be between the Sixers and the Celtics. I mean, you look at the Celtics, they've been all over the place this year for some reason. They've got a fantastic roster as well. Kyrie Irving, who's one of the best guards in the league, Jason Tatum, Marcus Morris, Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, Al Horford, Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart. They've got Brad Stevens as their coach, who is one of the best coaches in the NBA. Uncle Drew is a top 5 point guard. Jason Tatum has had a down year, in my opinion, based on what we saw last year in the playoffs especially. Gordon Hayward, I don't know. He hasn't lived up to... I know he got hurt last year, the gruesome injury and all that. But he hasn't played to his contract, which is an insane contract. So I don't know. I'm torn on who I think will get out of the East. I think it's between those two. I don't think the Bucks are built for the playoffs just because, they have Giannis and then that's kind of it, to be honest. I mean, they got Eric Bledsoe and people like that, but you need stars in the playoffs. And, again, Giannis can't shoot either. So I think somebody will just say, okay, shoot, we're not going to let you drive around us and dunk the ball. And that'll beat them. And then the same thing with the Raptors. I'm just not a big believer of the Raptors. I mean, they've lost to LeBron every year since LeBron's been there, basically. And but now that he's gone, that's kind of changed things. I mean, they got Kawhi Leonard now, traded him for DeMar DeRozan. But I think it'll be a Sixers-Warriors final, in which that'll be a fantastic series. I think the Warriors win, obviously, just because, I mean, they've got way too much firepower. They can guard. They've got a very good coach. I think they'll win in six. And become champions again, and then they'll figure out how to keep KD and Klay and Draymond and everybody. So we'll move off of that and on to LeBron and the Lakers missing the playoffs. So LeBron has missed the playoffs. This will be his first time missing the playoffs since his second or third year, I believe. Which, I mean, if you look at it, that's just absolutely insane. Injuries have plagued this team since Christmas. They were fourth in the West. Then LeBron got injured, missed a couple weeks. Then he came back, and then they've just been a dumpster fire ever since. Lonzo Ball has been out forever, it seems like. He's shut down for the year, which is a good idea. I mean, they're a good team. They've just been plagued by injuries all year. And, I mean, it's a bad thing in terms of LeBron's legacy. It'll probably hurt his legacy if he cares about that at all. I'm not sure if he does. But because the Jordan fans will say, well, Jordan would have got him to the playoffs and all this stuff. But still, I mean, and all, honestly, it might not be a bad thing that they missed the playoffs. I mean, LeBron's getting up there in age. He's 34 right now. So for him to miss the playoffs and get a couple extra months of rest, they're going to get probably a lottery pick, which is a nice young talent. If they keep playing how they're playing right now, they might get like a top five pick because they have sucked lately. But in all honesty, it's not absolutely horrible. I mean, you acquire more young talent. They could possibly go trade for Anthony Davis this offseason if they want to. They can try to sign a superstar this offseason. Don't know if that'll happen or not, but I mean, it is what it is. So it's not all bad that they've actually missed the playoffs. As weird as that might sound, it's honestly kind of a good thing. I mean, LeBron needs rest, like I said before. I mean, he's playing 36 minutes, and he's 34 years old. That's probably not a good thing, but that's time for a different story. Then last but not least, I want to talk about my man D-Book, Devin Booker. My man has scored 59, and they lost by 30. And then he had 50, and they lost by 3. The man needs some help. Straight like that. I mean, there's no way around it. They're 17-59, which is just god-awful. I mean, Devin Booker's out there by himself. He's averaging 27-7-4. And they're 17-59. I mean, that's just god awful. I mean, they got DeAndre Ayton this year. He's averaging 16-10. It's not horrible, but I mean, they don't have a point guard. They don't have a lot. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, they need a new front office. They need a lot of stuff, to be quite honest with you. But my man needs some help. Or he needs to get up out of Phoenix. I know he just signed a ridiculous contract this offseason, or last offseason, whenever it was. But I mean, he needs to request a trade or something if he wants any shot at winning a title, or not even just winning a title, just getting to the playoffs. Because I mean, they're just so bad to where, like, he's gonna waste his entire, I mean, he's 22 years old right now, and he's averaging, what I say, 27-7. I mean, that's almost unheard of. I mean, he's not even in the prime of his career yet, and he's already averaging those numbers. But I mean, if he wants to make the playoffs, they either need to get him some talent around him, and that honestly starts with the new front office people, just because they don't know what they're doing up there. They have like a new coach every year, and it's just a bad situation. Or he needs to request a trade, get traded. I don't know where, but just get out of Phoenix, just because, I mean, I don't see them being relevant. Not even for a finals, just the playoffs. I mean, 17-59. You've won 17 ball games in the whole year. I mean, that's just horrible. I mean, he was injured a little bit this year, but I mean, still, like, it was supposed to be a rebuilding year for them, but nobody expected, I mean, this bad. I mean, they had two lottery picks, and they're still horrible. So I don't know what's going on in Phoenix, but I mean, he's had two back-to-back 50-point games, and they've lost both of them. I was watching something the other day, and they said the only time that's ever happened, Will Chamberlain did it like 10 times or something ridiculous like that. But I mean, back-to-back 50-point games, and you're still losing? I mean, that's just a little ridiculous. He's literally putting the team on his back, saying, "Try to catch me. I mean, come on, let's see if we can win a basketball game." And I mean, it's just not working for him. And you know, it just sucks to see such an elite talent kind of going to waste because there's no chance that they're gonna make the playoffs. I mean, they were probably eliminated from playoff contention probably right after All-Star break. Maybe right before the All-Star break, which is just, that's horrible. So, in conclusion, I would like to thank everybody for listening to episode 1 of Hawk Talk. This has been your host, JC Hawkins, and I am out.